Hi there, and welcome to the Homeschool Sisters podcast. I'm Kate, and I'm a homeschooling mom doing this homeschool thing right beside you. I don't have it all figured out, but one thing I know for sure is that homeschooling is a lot easier when you have a sister by your side. Join me and other down-to-earth members of the homeschool community as we share the reality of what this homeschooling journey is really like. Hey there, it's Kate. I love to share creative resources that incorporate play-based learning. Today, I have a great one for you, and you're going to want to stick around because I have a 7-day free trial and discounts. Night Zookeeper is a highly engaging and educational online language arts program for children ages 6 to 12 plus. Night Zookeeper encourages children to learn independently via interactive lessons and games. Children also receive personalized feedback on their written work from a team of dedicated and trained tutors. My youngest son used Night Zookeeper for many years. The storyline, characters, and the gamified platform grabbed his attention from the get-go. I knew that Night Zookeeper was a win when he would ask me, "Mom, can I play Night Zookeeper?" Play. Be still my game school in heart. As my youngest son played Night Zookeeper, I saw his writing confidence grow exponentially, and he was also improving his grammar, spelling, punctuation, and reading skills. The best part? I no longer had to battle with him over putting pencil to paper. It freed up my time as a homeschool mom to focus on other areas of our homeschool and family life, and the entire atmosphere of our homeschool improved. I know the homeschool year is well underway, but if writing is a pain point in your homeschool, it's not too late to try something new. Night Zookeeper is offering the Homeschool Sisters community 50% off an annual subscription and a 7-day free trial. To get access to your 7-day free trial and to inspire your kiddos to write more this week, head to thehomeschoolsisters.com and click the special link in this episode's show notes. If you end up using Night Zookeeper and your kiddos love it too, please leave us a comment to let us know, because I love hearing when resources that work for our family work for your family too. Again, if you'd like a 7-day free trial and 50% off an annual subscription of Night Zookeeper, head to thehomeschoolsisters.com and click the special link in this episode's show notes. And now on to this week's episode. Hey sisters, I am so excited to share this week's episode with you, especially because I know we have a ton of OutSchool fans in the Homeschool Sisters community. And if you haven't heard about OutSchool yet, you're going to want to pull up a chair and listen to this conversation because it is an incredible resource. Today, our guest is Amir Nathu. Amir is CEO of OutSchool, a marketplace for live online classes for K through 12th grade learners. Amir worked at Square, leading the development of Square Payroll. Previously, he served as CEO and co-founder of Trigger.io, a development platform for creating native mobile apps. He holds a master's in engineering in electrical and information sciences from the University of Cambridge. Amir lives in San Francisco with his wife, Kirsty, and their two children. Now on to the episode. Hey, Amir.
Hey, Kay. It's good to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on. I was saying before we jumped on that my family has been using and loving OutSchool for years. We fell into homeschooling in 2016, and someone mentioned OutSchool to me early 2017, and my kids have grown up with your platform.
Oh, amazing. I'm so glad that we were helpful to your family, and I'm very excited to talk.
I am too. So I'm very familiar with OutSchool, but I'd love to hear how the concept got started and how it's changed over time.
Yeah, absolutely. OutSchool is an online learning platform for kids aged 3 to 18, and we cover all subjects, everything you can think of. And the idea behind OutSchool was to provide many more learning opportunities outside of regular school. So that's where the name comes from. And from this realization that learning can happen anywhere and through anything, and doesn't need to be in the confines of the regular school system. And in fact, can be incredibly valuable and enriching if we think bigger, we think wider. And the ideas behind that partly came from, you know, my own experience with learning, which I can go into. But there just seemed to be this gap where we saw many families seeking to either supplement school or looking for an alternative way of thinking about learning and of approaching their kids' learning. And there was a dearth of technologically empowered services to serve those learning needs. And so we decided to create something that could fill the gap.
So how did your schooling impact Like, what was it that prompted this outside of the box type of learning?
It's interesting because I had a very traditional education, an excellent education, but quite a traditional one growing up in the UK. I went to a selective state-funded school. I got good grades. I enjoyed school. And I ended up studying engineering at Cambridge. Why the hell am I founding a company and creating a service?
You did just fine there.
and I'm one of the lucky ones where I was happened to be quite suited to traditional education. But a core reason why I was successful in traditional education and a core reason why I'm in the work that I do was my parents. My parents were both teachers. And so they were able to really support me in my learning in school. But of course, the support they provided was out of school. And then even more importantly than that, they really helped me cultivate interests and learn to love learning. And for example, one of my interests was computer games. And I, as it is with many kids, and I became inspired to try to teach myself how to program computer games. And they really doubled down on that interest. And that's the thing. And I started to realize as I progressed in my career and became an entrepreneur, it's like my traditional education definitely opened doors because the credentials certainly helped. But when it comes to what I was actually doing day to day and the skills I was using, so much of it was learned outside of the classroom, outside of regular school. So I started to see this mismatch in, yes, there's valuable material that can be taught in school, but then there's so much more than that. And there's so much more than that that I had benefited from. And this discrepancy that even though I had got about the best education you could possibly get in the UK, I was seeing this gap that had been fulfilled by my parents. And I wanted to make more of those out-of-school learning experiences available to a wider group. Because what I take away isn't that everyone should learn how to code. What I took away is we should be trying to support our learners in pursuing their interests. And if you do that, they're going to love learning. And then some of those interests are going to turn out to be really valuable later.
I love that. And you're speaking to exactly why we fell into homeschooling too. We're in the Northeast area of the United States. And pre-COVID, there were not a lot of homeschoolers up here. But my oldest son is a very outside of the box learner, is very smart, was reading Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings in kindergarten, but couldn't sit in a chair and was calling out answers and like fiddling with things. I ended up bringing him home for a number of years until he started high school, actually. And I used OutSchool exactly as you're talking, what you're speaking of. I realized with a first grader, you really don't need to homeschool for that long because you're not in a classroom of 25. So your school day, your typical school day is way shorter. But he had all these unique interests and I was really able to have a bit of a break from him during the day because he was a lot at that time. And then he could just dive into whatever his interest was at the time. And in first grade, it was Harry Potter. So I don't know if they still have this series, but there was a teacher who did a real in-depth dive into each book. And so we followed through for each book and it had an art aspect, a math aspect, obviously literature. And it just covered so much. And he was so passionate about it that he learned an absolute ton. And then fast forward to my youngest son, brilliant, really creative, but hated writing. And he's a gamer. I enrolled him in several Dungeons and Dragons out-school courses, especially during COVID, where there was that need for the social connection. And he wanted to be a dungeon master and he's taking this class and he's drawing maps and he's labeling and he's creating storylines. So you can both meet the needs of a kid who has very unique needs. And also if there's an area of weakness, you can use that interest-based passion to inspire the kid. If I had said, let's write a story, he would have said, no way. But if there's a teacher talking about being a dungeon master and designing this campaign, he was completely all in and he was writing. So I just think it's such a fun platform.
That's so cool. And that's exactly how we hoped people would use it. Everyone has different needs. And that's why we try and provide such tremendous variety of teachers and classes and be able to find exactly the right teacher and learning opportunity and group at exactly the right time to really inspire and empower learning is what we're all about. And in the early days of OutSchool, in fact, before founding it, homeschooling was a key inspiration. Because as I was sharing some of my reflections of my own traditional education, but then the help that my parents provided me, I was learning about homeschool. I started realizing all the things that you were describing. That hang on, actually, if you go with the child, you can cover everything that you would in school much faster. and that it's different from what people expect in terms of it's usually done very socially. And it's not just sitting at the table with just the parents, starting to realize all these things about it and thinking, wow, this is actually applying many known best practices in learning, but where the traditional system has actually not been able to successfully apply at scale. In terms of the curation and personalization, that's a massive buzzword within education, within the school system. And the reality is I saw homeschooling schoolers doing that more than anyone. And so that was an inspiration. And on top of that, just reflecting on my entrepreneurial journey and the kind of resourcefulness and self-startingness that you need and willingness to not necessarily know how you're going to get to a destination, but taking a winding path. I saw all that kind of there in homeschooling culture. And so it was very inspiring to draw those connections together with my own personal experience. And we built our school to first serve homeschoolers, but then to take all the lessons and learnings from homeschoolers and seek to transmit those ideas and practices to a wider audience so that we could open families' eyes up to out-of-school learning, to the idea that there is an alternative to traditional education, and to reduce the burden on families if they're choosing to take that alternative path. And for families for whom, for various reasons, practically or otherwise is not an option right now, at least provide a taste so that you can use out-of-school just a little bit with your kid in school to start to get that realization that there was more to learning than you maybe have previously thought.
Yes, I love that. And I think I've been talking about out-school forever because we used it in so many different capacities. So we would use it if someone was passionate about something. I'd use it if there was a weakness, but I knew there was an interest in something else that I could tie it in, like I did with Dungeons and Dragons. My daughter was way into Hamilton when it first came out. She also liked poetry. I searched in out-school. There was actually a Hamilton poetry class. There is just such a wide variety of class options.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about kind of different ways that people use it and how that's evolved, because there has been change over time.
Yes, I would love to hear that.
And what we want to do is be able to fulfill ever more and more learning needs. And there's tremendous variety because every kid is different and their needs change with time. And we started out offering primarily one-time classes, which were entertaining and maybe edutainment in nature. And then over time, we added to the platform and classes became longer and longer. They went more and more in depth, and we were able to satisfy more and more enrichment. And then we also started to see and encourage, and we actively encouraged this kind of bridge between, can you learn math through art or critical thinking skills through Dungeons and Dragons, or things that will be regarded as, I don't know, core or hard skills within school, but taught in an interesting way to inspire more learners. And then now we fulfill core academics. And so there's plenty of kids who are into math and want to learn like highest levels and want to be challenged. But sometimes they need a little bit of extra inspiration. So you need to take a different path, or you can just jump straight to the core. And we want to satisfy all of those needs. So we have core courses, we have tutoring, we have where it's a mixture of enrichment or blending different subjects, or we have like pure enrichment that's designed to inspire. And the reality is we want our families to take advantage of all of that, whatever they need in any moment of time. My son uses the platform and he has a mix. He has like math tutoring, but then he has like his chess classes and one on just a social group where they show and tell around toys. So learning social skills. It's that full range that we're trying to get. So it's not that out-school is like against academics or things that you might regard as traditional. We just want it done in a way that gives maximum agency to families and kids. So you get to decide and are in control.
I love that. One of the things I was going to say, we actually have used it for very academic things too. So I had my oldest, I love him, before he went to high school, he was very concerned that I hadn't taught him an appropriate amount of grammar. And I was like, well, that's kind of a little dry, but let me see if I can find something. So then he took a grammar class that was very much like you would have in school. And that's what he wanted at that time. So there's a little bit of everything. I think prior to maybe 2020, when that got a little weird, that a lot of, I would talk to homeschool parents and they were afraid that outsourcing in a matter like out-school was cheating because they felt like they're supposed to be teaching everything. But the reality is, when you outsource
particularly if it's a subject that you don't feel super confident in, you're freeing up your brain space as a parent, as a teacher, to be able to teach other things while your child is completely safe with this other person learning whatever it is. And in another way, I found myself using OutSchool way more during 2020, just because we were all, especially at the beginning, because we were all stuck inside and we were getting sick of each other and we wanted to see our friends, and you can only, got really cold here in New Hampshire. And so we were doing everything outside that we could, but you weren't getting the same level of interaction that you had prior to everything going haywire. So they, you mentioned chess class. My boys loved chess club. My daughter did a cooking class that met every week, and she was making us dinner. She was making us desserts and having an absolute blast. And everyone was getting their social connection with people around the world, which is really neat too. We haven't touched on that, but you can have people from the other side of the globe in class with you, which is a really neat experience for kids.
That's so cool. Yeah. And yeah, that's exactly how he hopes that people will use it. And yeah, there was a time there when we were forced to be at home, or there just wasn't the availability. And we really grew tremendously during that time. But what's been really interesting is that obviously after a while, when restrictions relaxed, everyone wants to be back outside again. But now we're continuing to see growth in online, because what we're seeing is just that the convenience and the costs and the access to learning groups from around the world or teachers from around the world is really valuable. And you can do things online which you might not expect. Like, we didn't expect really music classes to be done online, but my son takes like a piano class. We put the computer next to his little electronic keyboard and the teacher can see the keys and it works. We've had group violin classes online over Zoom.
I feel like that time period made educators who I think are very creative by nature, because they're forced to meet the needs of all these different unique people in the same space. I think it really taught them how to pivot and teach things in a different way. Cause we were taking in-person piano lessons, and the way that our teacher like just quickly figured out all of these ways to be able to do it over Zoom was amazing. So I think I can imagine that you exploded during that time and that it has continued, because I know in this area, so we didn't have a lot of homeschoolers prior to COVID, and then COVID happened and a lot of people realized, hey, that really either the virtual learning that they were doing with the school system, really their kid floundered because they were in kindergarten or first grade and that's really difficult to do, or they realized that their kids did much better in the virtual setting and were more efficient and got things done. So I can see how you would see growth there from people who perhaps hadn't experienced it before and realized, opened up their eyes to the world of virtual learning.
Absolutely. And what we see is what we call a growing alternative education movement that in many cases isn't called homeschooling, but is, I don't know, what I think of as ideological offshoots of homeschooling. Like, do you remember the pandemic pods? I was always entertained like that. It just seemed like this is a homeschool co-op, but okay, I guess we're not using homeschool. We're just going to call them pandemic pods. Great. And people did that and they said, oh, wow, this works for my kid. And some mm-hmm. of them stuck with it or discovered homeschooling more broadly. And then you have the microschooling movement. Look at that. It looks like a co-op, but maybe it's slightly more kind of teacher run. And you've got an entrepreneur running. It looks the same. And in terms of the proposition, the idea that you're going to be more involved in your kids' education, you're going to have like a small curated group that's going to personalize. And then you're going to use online resources to get access to all the enrichment. All of these, in my view, is like a continuum. But it's starting to attract more and more families to realize, oh, there is an alternative. It's hard and it's a bit scary to do something different, but maybe it's not as hard or as scary as it used to be or what I thought it was. And we see that growing. And then, of course, you've got things like the education savings accounts and other various school choice programs that are starting to put funds in the hands of families to take alternative paths, so that we're starting to reduce the financial barriers to this alternative. And there's now ESA programs in, you know, Arizona, and the microgrant program in Virginia, in New Hampshire, in Ohio, Indiana, and they're growing and growing. And so what I believe we will see in the next few years is the continual growth of alternative education, which is itself like an offshoot or an expansion of what we saw as homeschooling.
I hope so. And I love that there's some funding now, because that can be such a barrier, especially if you are a homeschooling family and you're on one income. You do have an excellent referral program, which I always mention to people because they love that you can, if I'm remembering correctly, you save $20 and the person who signs up with your link also saves $20, which is a huge chunk when you're a homeschool parent and you're trying to decide where to allocate. What am I going to outsource?
Actually, that reminds me of another thing that I think we observe parents noticing. So neurodivergence. Now, in some cases, parents understand that their child is neurodivergent or it's diagnosable. And that's one of the reasons why sometimes traditional schooling doesn't work for a child. And depending on the severity, the parents may be conscious of it and might take action based on it. But I think one thing that when you're at home and are directly there with your kids seeing the education is, I think a lot of people started to realize, it's not actually working for my kid in the way that I thought. But now I have visibility that I got through the pandemic. Actually, my kid's different, and maybe not in an extreme or diagnosable way or a way that they recognize before. It's, I'm starting to learn about my child and how they're interacting with this system. And I'm not sure this is the best for them. And I think in the context of traditional schooling, it's easy to think that what I want is my kid to fit in. Mm-hmm. Because that makes things easier if they do in a traditional system. But if you really think about it, I don't want my kids to fit in. I want my kids to be my kids, to be the best that they can be in a way that they've decided to be. And I want to help them with that. And I want to have some influence over that. But it's that way around. And then we'll find the system that best meets that needs, not fitting into to a particular system. And I think, so when I think about neurodivergence, I don't just mean the kind of, because there are like big learning differences, but mm-hmm. every kid's different. And the things that, what I love about being able to serve neurodivergent kids, I think this helps us serve kids everywhere because of this idea that every kid is different.
Yes. Before falling into homeschooling, I was a school psychologist. So I've always worked in public school. So it was a very unexpected, like homeschooling was never anything I ever thought of, but I could not stop thinking about, I used to work in and around Boston, and I could not stop thinking about all the kids that would benefit from something like this, such a personalized education. I think the thing that's difficult about schools, because it's a system, so it has to be a system because there's a bunch of kids all the same age, but it's only catching so many people. And then the kids who are on either side can get a little bit lost and can feel very different in a not positive way, especially if you're receiving services, you're talking about neurodivergence being pulled from the class. And I think the thing that I've really loved about homeschooling, we homeschooled for 10 years. I was talking about a friend, we were reflecting that they grew up being interested in what they were interested in, whether that was a Humboldt squid or like really weird, quirky things. And we could embrace that. And our cohort of homeschoolers, they were all quirky because the system didn't work for us at that time. So they were allowed to pursue these interests. And there wasn't that background chatter of, well, that's, squids aren't cool. That's not what we're into right now. And so we missed that part, which was really nice. And I wish there was a way for that to be applied to public school setting. You know what I mean? So that you can embrace your unique quirkiness, because that's what's going to ultimately, I believe, if you fall into a job that you love in the future, it's that piece of you. It's not the piece that's like everyone else. It's the outlier piece. And we all have it.
That was the curious thing. This was the other reflection about moving into the world of work and especially being an entrepreneur. It's like difference is valuable and is valued in the world of work. You find your unique skills, your unique interests, the stuff that you really love, but other people don't. And then they'll pay you to do the thing that you love, or you have a differential advantage. And in work, you talk about differentiation, you talk about, you know, finding your unique strengths. So that's being different. What it means is being different. And if all of your schooling, you've been taught how to fit in or how to make a grade within a very relatively narrow set of boundaries, I don't think we're doing kids justice in what the world really needs and what is really valued in the world. And so that was the other piece of the homeschooling ethos that I found really applicable and inspiring. But ultimately, we're trying to create an education system that is is really good for our kids in the sense that I want them to be happy. I think everyone wants their kids to be happy in their education, but it's also going to prepare them for the future and be future ready for where the world's going. And I don't see how we can create a future proof education without radically reimagining what education looked like in the past. And I think we've got a long ways to go. I really love the homeschooling movement and alternative education movement. I think it's just the start. As you say,
I do too.
I think these ideas need to be embedded within public education as well.
Yes. And I think even when you're thinking of the good student, so I was a good student, clearly you were a good student. You learn to play the game each year and you get a teacher, you read the teacher. This particular teacher likes you to do English this way. And then the next year you've got a teacher that's more old school in the 5-paragraph essay. And you learn to play the game, which is something interesting talking with my son now, because he was homeschooled for 10 years. He's in high school. It's a great district. He's getting good grades, but he'll say things like, if I had read To Kill a Mockingbird the first time in school, like I wouldn't have liked it because we just keep talking about it and we've gone over every little bit. But I think that's the thing that alternative ed and programs like OutSchool, you're capitalizing on that interest-based learning. And when someone's interested in something, it sticks. So you're learning to learn versus learning what someone's telling you to learn at this particular point in time, because that's what you do in 9th grade or 10th grade or 11th grade.
100%. Yeah, sometimes I smack my forehead and go, how have we made this subject so boring?
Yes, like, and just maintained it. Like I thought I didn't like science in elementary and high school. Like I didn't think I did fine. But, and then I started homeschooling. I was like, science is such a blast. It's so fun. So I'm curious, because you have such a wide array of course options, and you can take pre-recorded, you can take live classes, there's one-offs, there's semester courses. How do you determine how to add a class and the subjects that you're adding? And then how do you select teachers? I have a really good friend who does online book clubs without school. And so I know a little bit of this from behind the scenes, but I'm just curious, because you have everything. You could just put in piano lessons or chess or Latin and you get a ton of different options. So I'd love to know what that process is like.
Totally. OutSchool doesn't provide like a curriculum. So it's not like we go and tell teachers, hey, here's what you must teach. Instead, we encourage teachers to teach the classes that they've always wanted to teach, to use their expertise, but to do it in a way that really resonates with them. Because what we see again and again is if the teacher is really into their subject and into the way they're teaching it, that's going to be infectious. And actually, that's the most important thing. So in the same way as we want kids to pursue interests, because we believe that results in better outcomes, the same is true of teachers. Now, when teachers come on the platform, we obviously do some vetting because we want the environment to be safe and high quality. But we don't tell them what to teach. Instead, we say, what is it that you want to teach on the platform? And then we ask, do you have expertise in that area? Have you worked with kids before? What's been your experience working with kids? So we have a simple application process, application form. We ask teachers to record a video. We put them through a background check, and then they can come on the platform. And then they can go to town and within our content policies, teach the classes they want to teach. We provide suggestions because we have data from what we see parents searching for and what they're asking for. So we say, hey, it looks like in this particular area, there might be more demand than we have supply. So please create classes. And so we provide suggestions and nudges that way. But again, the actual creation of the class and the curriculum is in the hands of the teachers.
As you're speaking, I'm remembering this one class that we had signed up for, I forget how many years ago, but it was a geography class. And the teacher used to teach in public schools, but then was a digital nomad and was going all around the world and was teaching OutSchool. And you felt like you were in the country that she was teaching each week. And my kids would get so excited. They'd be like, Spain is next week. And they'd be trying to research fun facts to share with her. You could see that she was so passionate about it. And it was just the way she lived her life. And she had such a fountain of knowledge because she had traveled so much. So she was able to share so many stories. So it wasn't just learning the facts, but it was also these stories intertwined that my kids are really into, that they would then remember the story and it would connect it to that place. I'm wondering, as you're speaking, did you see a rise in applications for teachers after 2020, Eric? I know that they had the brunt of it. I have so many friends that were teaching, and then they had 3 or 4 kids at home of their own that they're trying to manage the virtual learning of. They were complete rock stars, and I know that they got really burnt out, and some of them are still burnt out. So I'm curious if you saw a spike there.
We did. We really go in tandem, because at the same time during that, the steep rise in online learning during the pandemic, also many teachers wanted to be able to practice their craft safely from home and were dealing with their own disruption and needed to have flexibility. And so we saw a tremendous rise. And in fact, we continue to see more and more teachers coming, because what actually often happens is teachers will come for their own kids because they care about the kids' education. They want to find the best opportunities. And actually start using OutSchool as customers, going, hang on, why aren't I teaching on OutSchool? This sounds like a great way to either supplement my income or maybe convert from being an in-person teacher to be an online teacher. Or maybe they're taking a career break because they had a family and were thinking about going back to the classroom. And now this is a way they can do that more conveniently. The proposition to teachers that you can earn money doing your craft in the way that you want to do it without the bureaucracy and from home is incredible. Like they love that. In fact, it's funny. I grew up with the internet, and in the early days, make money from home and these scams. It sounds too good to be true, but let's know for real. There's now this burgeoning economy and the online teaching entrepreneurs who are doing incredibly well. And that is an inspiring part about OutSchool as well, because teachers for too long have been undervalued, underpaid. Mm-hmm. And we seek to treat them as creative entrepreneurial professionals, because that's what they are. And if your kid is in class with a creative entrepreneurial professional, they're not only going to be learning whatever it is, the topic that's at hand, but they're going to be being inspired by the person they're talking to. And so that's a very exciting part of it from my perspective as well. I'm very glad we get to support and work with such incredible teachers every day.
I imagine it's very freeing for them too, coming from the classroom, not only with respect to working from home, but just the red tape of everything that you're supposed to cover and the way you're supposed to cover it by what point in the year. You're removing that so that you can really focus on the learning and you can make it fun in a way. I remember talking to, we call ourselves game schoolers. We use a lot of board games and online games to teach kids. And so I have been able to connect with a lot of game designers, and some of them were teachers in their previous life. And they had these, when they tell the stories, they had these really fun classrooms, but they had to work their way for the principal to allow the fun. Like they earned by seeing how well they taught over time and being a veteran teacher. It was like, oh, okay, she can do that because we know she's okay teaching the Olympics this way versus more traditional routes. So I think it can be very hard to bring in some of the creativity that you want within the restraints of the school day and the school year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard. It's understandable if you're working with an institution that has to like have all this logistics to mm-hmm. manage that number of kids in an in-person environment that comes with certain requirements. But obviously, it's easier to do online. Now we also have the software and the products, the technology to be able to do the coordination. So this is where I hope education can go, to be far more dynamic in terms of matching kids with the right learning opportunity at the right time, by freeing up that restriction, removing the need for that kind of bureaucracy.
Where do you see OutSchool going? What's next?
Yeah, as I said, we want to be able to serve more and more learning needs. So we're always looking to increase the number of teachers, increase the variety of classes, and also update our products. Just today, we released a new set of features that'll make it a lot easier to run what we call self-paced courses, the asynchronous format. We have live classes with Beat over Zoom, but now you also have the capability to interact with a teacher over messaging and review content async. And so we'll keep adding formats like that and keep adding different subjects to serve more learners' needs. And then we're also looking to continually add new funding sources to reduce the financial barriers. So that's why we're very excited by the ESAs. And we see them emerging in other states. Whenever they emerge, we want to find ways to partner with and integrate with those programs to make OutSchool available to more people at less financial burden. And we also see a lot of opportunity internationally. Because as you said, one of the cool things is your kid could be learning with a kid from another country and brought together by a shared interest. But up till now, we've been primarily, most of our audience is in the US, but we see tremendous opportunity to grow Excuse me.
No, don't worry.
Tremendous opportunity to grow internationally, so much so that I'm losing my voice.
Yeah, that was one of my kids' favorite parts. They would be like, in each class, they'd be like, Peter is from Singapore and this kid is from France. And they would be so excited to just in the chit chat before the class starts when they're trickling on. What time is it where you are? Is it dark? And it was so neat to live. I just think about it's for all the trouble that parents can have with screens and kids and managing that. It's remarkable to think about how far we've come since we were in school and that you can be in a classroom learning about something that you absolutely love with kids from all over the country and all over the world. It's a really neat time in education, I think.
100%. And there's tremendous opportunity there. And we really want to try and create good screen time. But not all screen time is bad. Tremendously from online resources and to me, what's good about screen time is the access to the content of the people. And if we can make it interactive and if we can make it safe, which is what we do at our school with all our trust and safety mechanisms and vetting of teachers, then I think screen time can be incredible and can be really valuable.
Absolutely. I know it's been such a joy for our family. And I hope that people listening right now will go take a peek if they haven't checked it out already. Amir, it's been so fun talking to you. I love OutSchool. I love what you've created. I love what you're doing. For anyone who's listening, could you tell them how they can sign up and learn more about OutSchool?
Absolutely. So you can visit outschool.com. You can review the classes. It's all there. You have tools to go search or you can browse. You can sign up to our email list for free. And then when you're ready to take the plunge with a class that your learner is interested in, you can start with a one-time class or one weekly class. There's no big contracts or no large upfront commitment. You can just buy a course and start in a way that's convenient for you. So we hope you take advantage of it and are in touch with me and our support team if there's any way we can help you get started.
I know that this time of year for homeschool parents, when you're almost at the finish line, you can see it, but it feels like really far away and you just came through winter and you're tired. OutSchool was a godsend for us when I was feeling burnt out, that I could just be like, okay, wait, we're just going to take a couple weeks break and they will do some online learning with things that they're interested in or maybe work on some weak spots. And I can just have a breather so that you can start back up again with renewed energy. So I think if anyone's listening right now and they're feeling a little tapped out, that's something to consider.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're here for you. We want to make homeschooling both fun and valuable and easy and support however we can.
Thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today.
Likewise.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Hey, sister. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes. It's truly the best way for us to find other sisters out there and connect with them. I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Until then, remember, you've got this, sister.